on the balcony or in the back, if you want to come to the front, I would appreciate it because I want to be able to look at you when I'm talking. Is that okay? You want to come up front? There's lots of room up here. Anyway, we're going to talk about the inexpressible gift. Now, I know I just said I'm going to talk to the children, but now I'm already using big words that you can't understand. Some of you might understand it, maybe others don't. So inexpressible means I can't explain it. I can't explain what inexpressible means because inexpressible means there are no words to describe how great this is. So for instance, can someone who's really smart tell me what honey tastes like? What does honey taste like? You want to answer this, right? What does honey taste like? I knew you were going to say sweet. But what does sweet taste like? Can you think of how to describe sweet? You know, when someone says full-bodied flavor, what does that mean? It's inexpressible. I can't find words. So I heard a story of one boy who was, he was having honey on his bread, and someone came along and said, "Can you tell me, what does that taste like?" And the guy said, "Well, it's sweet." And the man said, "But what does sweet mean? Tell me what sweet is like." And the kid finally said, "You just have to taste it for yourself." Right? So when we talk about Jesus being the inexpressible gift, you just have to try it for yourself. You just have to experience it for yourself. So the Bible calls Jesus the inexpressible gift. And so I want to ask you something, because we're going to talk about the gift whose name is Emmanuel. What does the word Emmanuel mean? Like, God is with us. That's why I'm excited this morning. Not because I get to show you pretty pictures or you got a present on the table here, but because it means God is with us. Now, can you imagine if God made himself visible to us, how excited we would be? We might just lose our strength in our legs. Our stomach might feel really like a whole bunch of butterflies flying in a disorganized fashion. We might just pass out because we couldn't take how glorious it is. So that's why he remains invisible, so that we can still function as human beings, right? But he really is with us. And Jesus, before he left the earth, he said to his disciples, "I am with you always." He's invisible, but he says, "I'm with you always, always, till the end of time." Now, I have some notes that I have to look at because I can't memorize everything that I wanted to say to you this morning. So, what's in a name? We talked about the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Now, some of us have names that mean something. Others have names that don't mean anything. Does anyone here have a name that means something? What's your name? Stephen. Do you know what your name means? No? Do you know what your name means? Do you know what your name means? Victory, because your name is Victoria? Very good. What's your name? Grace. Wow, that's great. What's your name? Pardon?
My name's also Grace.
Your name is also Grace, so it means grace. My wife's name is Carol, and it means song of joy. Sometimes our character, what we are like, fits with the name. My wife, she is a song of joy to me. She's joyful. She's joyful a lot. She is. She's a song of joy, right? My name is Werner, and I did some research, and it means a bearer of burdens. So that's why I walk with crooked shoulders, because I'm always carrying a burden, right? Sometimes your name matches what you're like. And when we talk about Emmanuel, I want to ask the question, what's in that name? It means God with us. But what does that mean? What does it mean that God is with us? All right, so let's have the... Are you controlling the slides from somewhere? Elmer. Oh, you... Okay, great. So why don't we go to the next slide. Emmanuel means God with us. And when God first became human by being born to Joseph and Mary at that first Christmas that Ben read to us this morning, he became human so that he could experience what it's like to be human. Now, God knows everything. We're going to talk about that later. But imagine God experiencing now what it's like to be hurt, what it's like when someone steps on your toe, what it's like when someone is nasty to you. Okay, and if I insult you and say, oh, your mother wears army boots, or something like that, you know, you might be offended. So Jesus, because he was human, experienced everything that we experience as human beings. And so that first Christmas, God became a baby. He became a baby born to Joseph and Mary. And so the first thing I want us to do, who's the first child that's on the list? Okay, Matthew, right? You want to come up? And I want you to open the first present, and this box here, you have to open it from this side. So you see everyone's, this box has the name Emmanuel on it, okay? So open it up from this here. All right? And so you pull out that box and put it on top of this one here. Okay, and now you take the baby Jesus. Where's the baby Jesus, Carol? Oh, there he is. Okay, and set it up in the manger scene. All right. We thought we lost the baby Jesus. Okay. So, we're talking about what's in a name. And Jesus, he became a man, but the Bible says that he was totally sinless. He didn't become a man, a person, like us in that, like, we disobey our parents. We disobey God. We do things that aren't right a lot. Jesus never disobeyed his parents. Jesus never lost his temper sinfully. Jesus never stole a chocolate bar from the store. Never did anyone. He was holy. That's what holy means. Holy means he's absolutely righteous. Holy means no sin whatsoever. That's what Jesus is like. So imagine that you have a friend who is absolutely perfect in everything that he does. I mean, it doesn't mean you get A for all your subjects in school. It means never lies, never cheats, never deceives you, never hurts you sinfully, never disobeys God. What would a friend like that be like? And if Jesus said, I'm always with you, that means you have a friend exactly like that. That's what's in a name. Because in the Bible, when someone is given a name, that name describes his character. This is what you are like in a lot of cases in the Bible. So Peter was named the Rock. The Rock. Right? You thought that was funny. It wasn't because he was stoned. It was because he became a stable foundation. Okay? Yeah. Someone discovered their voice. Okay, so holiness means something beautiful. Holiness is being absolutely righteous. So who's next? Who's next in line? Let's open the next gift. So what was the first gift? The first gift was Emmanuel. The second gift is holiness. And I want you to repeat it after me, kids. And you go up and open the box that says holiness. And Let's see what else comes out. Oh, there's another box. You're going to have to pull that out. You think you can do that? Oh, we have three helpers today. Okay, so let's stack this on top of here. What does it say? Does it have a label on it? Uh-oh, it's a big word. Can you pronounce that? Try. Who said it? Say it again. Omnipresence. Okay, thank you. You can, take one of these now and set it up wherever you like in that manger scene. What is that, a wise man? Okay, that's a wise man. Okay, you can go back to your seats. So, the next part of the name is like, what is God like? He is omnipresence. Now, I'm going to explain what the word means in a minute. I know you're thinking, you said you were going to talk to the kids, and now you're getting these big words. Well, these big words are going to explain. I'm going to explain what they are. Can you say that together with me? Omnipresence. Say it again.
Omnipresence.
What does omnipresence mean? Anyone? Maybe a teenager will tell us. Omnipresence, what does it mean? It's Christmas, no time to be shy. Okay, adults, omnipresence. Come on. Everywhere, God is everywhere. God is everywhere, which means, look at the picture here. What's that a picture of? That's the picture of our solar system, outer space. God is way out there, and God is way down here. Okay? He's everywhere at once. It doesn't mean he travels really fast from one place to another. It means he is everywhere. God is everywhere. Say it again. Omnipresence. Okay? Now, Jesus said, I am with you always. He said that to me. He said it to my wife, Carol. He said it to Elmer. He said it to Matthew. He said it to a number of you. I am with you always. So when you go that way and somebody else goes that way, does that mean that Jesus has to decide who he's going with? Why? How come? Because he's everywhere. He's everywhere, right? He is everywhere. Whether you go in a dark basement or whether you are on the top of the CN Tower, he's everywhere. Whether you're flying in an airplane, whether you're being an astronaut and you go to outer space, or whether you go 4,000 feet underground in a mine like I did, he's everywhere. Everywhere at once. Now think of Jesus as your friend. He is with you always. He is with you everywhere. So let's think about what Jesus is like. First we said Emmanuel, God with us, holiness, now omnipresence. All right, now who's the next person to bring, open up the next gift? Oh, you have to open this box, I think. Let's see what's in this box. Oh, another box. How about that? Okay, let's see. Yeah, it's hard because these boxes are so very similar. Okay, what does that box say? Another big word. Can you pronounce that? Omnipotence. Someone's learned phonetics, right? All right, omnipotence or omnipotence. You can pronounce it any way you want to. All right, thank you. Now take one of these and put it in the manger scene. Oh, only one. Whoa. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, okay? Otherwise, the manger scene will be finished, but my sermon won't be. So this is omnipotence. Wow, that's another big word. Let's say it together. Omnipotence. Or omnipotent. Okay, omnipotent. So what does that mean? It means God is all-powerful. Think about how strong you are. Okay? Now think about how strong your father is, or your mother. Now think about how strong, let's see, Arnold Schwarzenegger is. Do you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? No? That's my generation. Who?
John Cena.
Who is that? They know. Okay. Think of how strong Iron Man is. Right? The Hulk. Yeah, I know the Hulk. God is... There is no limit to His strength. That's what omnipotent means. No limit. God can do anything He wants to. Anything He wants to. But He's holy, so He won't do anything wrong. He's good, so He won't do anything harmful. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. And that means that when Jesus says He is with you to the end of time, and He's everywhere, and He's holy, He's also all-powerful. Now imagine you have a friend who is all-powerful. Just imagine you have a friend who's that strong. Not just physically strong, but so strong that there's nothing that He can't do. And He's your friend. That's the gift that we have in Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus Christ is. And that's all wrapped up in the name Emmanuel, God with us. Who's the next person to open the prize, the present? Okay, take that box that says omnipotent. Okay, and dump that out. Oh my, so many boxes. Don't you wish you're going to have this many presents at home on Christmas Day? All right, what does it say? Oh, another big word. Okay, we're going to be done with these big words soon. Omniscience. All right, thank you very much. Now take one of these pieces, put it in the manger scene wherever you think is best. All right, we have a shepherd. And slowly our manger scene is going to be completed. So now we have omniscience. Can you say that with me? Omniscience. See, the word is made from omni, which means everything, and science, which is knowledge. So omniscience means God knows everything. There's no limit to His knowledge. You take everything that's available on the internet right now, all the Wikipedia articles, everything that is possibly that we can know in this world, and God knows much more than that. God knows everything because He created everything. Because before creation, there was absolutely nothing. Nothing except Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When God created the world, He created humanity, He created chemistry, He created physics. Some of you don't even know what that is yet. He created arithmetic, He created spelling, He created languages, because He knows everything. He knows everything. Imagine you have a friend who is with you all the time who knows everything. Now that doesn't mean that when you write a test in school, that God is going to give you the answers if you haven't studied, right? But the stuff that you have to learn in school is stuff that God invented. And that's why we have to learn it. So that God is glorified by our learning what He invented. That's why, young people, it's important to apply yourself to those tougher subjects, because all knowledge comes from God. All true knowledge comes from God, and it glorifies Him when we get into what He has invented. So when we receive this gift of Emmanuel, part of that name means we have a friend who is with us all the time, who is holy, who is everywhere, and He knows everything. That's why He's the inexpressible gift. The next person. All right, come on up. And let's open the next box. I almost said Xbox. The next box. All right. So open that box that says omniscience. Don't topple the tower. And dump that out and see what we have there. Oh, what do we have there? Do you read the? Can you read the label? What does it say? Say that again. Love. All right. Our next gift is love. This is so awesome. This is exciting because if you had a friend who was holy and who knows everything and he's all powerful and he's, I'm starting to forget. And he's everywhere, what? I forgot. You forgot to set up the figure in the manger scene. Come on back. We got to finish that manger scene. Okay, take one of these. There's a sheep, there's a wise man, there's a camel, and there's a shepherd. Okay, she chose the sheep. The little lamb. All right. Slowly, it's looking good. All right, so we're talking about love. So if you know someone who is all-powerful, but he's not your friend, but he's holy, and he's everywhere, wouldn't you want him to be your friend? The Bible says God is love. God is love. So he's not just a know-it-all whom you don't know. He's a God who wants to have a relationship with you. He's a God who wants to get close to you. He's a God who wants to get inside of you and to fix what's wrong in your heart. He's a God of love. How much did God love us? Can anyone tell me how much did God love us? Yeah? An infinite amount. He used the word infinite. That means no limit to his love. An infinite amount of love. No end to his love. What's a way in which God loved us? God loved us so much that he... What does John 3:16 tell us? Gabe? Wow, that's great. They just recited John chapter 3, verse 16. He loved the world so much that he gave us his son. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God wants to enter into a relationship with us. Do you know why we are made for a relationship? Because God is in a relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are made in his image. We are made to be like God in some ways. And so therefore we need relationships with each other, with our parents, with our friends, with our brothers and sisters in church, but most important, a relationship with God. And so he gave us Jesus Christ so that we could have a relationship with him. All right. I want to ask you something else. What is it like when you really love someone, but they reject your love? When you really love someone and they reject your love, I got a little story to tell you. My daughter Ellie, she had a little chihuahua, a little chihuahua dog. That little chihuahua she had from a puppy, only about 2 months old when she got it. It was called a teacup chihuahua. It was so small it could sit in a teacup when it was a puppy. That puppy, I don't know if you know what chihuahuas are like, but chihuahuas can get a little snappy sometimes. And after the chihuahua turned about 2, 3, 4 years old, it started getting snappy with her. And for the rest of that dog's life, that dog would be snapping at her, even though she loved the dog. She loved the dog all of its life, and the dog turned 17 years old just last month and was having real difficulty, was having seizures, it had kidney problems, and so they had to take it to a vet and they had to put the dog to sleep. But my daughter was heartbroken because she said, I love that dog all of its life, and all it did was reject me, reject me, reject me. And I thought, what a great illustration for what God must go through when he offers us his best, his greatest expression of love, in giving us Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, and we reject him, or we disobey, or we rebel against him. The feeling that you have when someone rejects your love, we need to understand what God experiences when someone rejects his love. God is love, the Bible says. Next box, who's next? No. We have two more. This one and the next one. Okay, open that box. Goodness. Goodness sakes. All right. We have, there's another box inside. So anyway, that's good. Everybody can see that? And put a piece of the manger in the manger. Yes. Another wise man. Okay. Thank you very much. So now we're going to talk about goodness. What does goodness mean? If I say, you are so good. You know, I asked Alan the other day, he was working in the office. I asked him, can I get you some coffee? He said, no, I'm good. I said, the Bible doesn't say you're good. I know what people mean when they say that. They mean, it's okay, I'm fine. But what does goodness mean? When someone is good to you, what do you think about? Huh? When your parents give you a Christmas present, do you think, my parents are good to me? When someone forgives you for something you did wrong, and you're expecting to get maybe a spanking, and they don't give you a spanking, and you think, my parents were good to me. Merciful. All right. God is good. Imagine this. Imagine that there's a lion right here. A lion. If there was a lion here, would you run away? Who said no? You don't think you'd run away if there was a lion? Why? Would you beat him up? Hey? Because that lion is hungry, and he's might take a chunk out of you. Okay? Now, if you want to see what lions do, just get on YouTube with your parents' permission and watch a few safari videos, and you'll see how strong lions are. Now, if I told you, it's okay, the lion is good, that would be different, wouldn't it? If I had a dog that was normally vicious, but I said, it's a good dog, he's not going to bite you, okay? God is all-powerful, he's holy, and by the way, if God is holy and we are not, what does that do to us, right? We need to be very careful in the presence of a holy God, because His holiness by itself is enough to destroy us. That's why when John had a vision of Jesus Christ, he fell on his face on the ground and passed out. Daniel had a vision just of an angel, and he passed out on the ground. Why? Because the presence of holiness causes us to lose all our strength. And probably all our bodily functions as well. Right? Holiness is awesome. But goodness, God is good. Jesus is good. And he's your friend. And he's with you everywhere. He's with you all the time. And he's all powerful. And so what's in a name? All of these good things are in a name. And that's why God calls this gift his inexpressible gift. A gift that we cannot adequately find words for to describe our gratitude and the benefits that we have. One more gift. If someone would come and open that last gift. All right. So I think we're going to have to help her. Okay. Here we go. Open that box. I think there might be something else in it yet. Okay. I think it swings open this way. There we go. What does it say? Truth. All right. Okay. No, it's empty. All right. So let's put this back. And we're going to complete the tower here. We have goodness. And we have truth. Let's see. It's like a Jenga tower. There we go. Okay. Truth. And you can each take one and set it in the manger scene, okay? Don't knock the others over like dominoes here now. Okay. And I think these two children are the most recent children that have come to Sunday school. And so we're going to gift their family this manger scene. Okay? That's our gift to you. Where are your parents? Which ones are your parents? Oh, there you are. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so make sure you take that home with you today. All right? Talk to Carol because she'll wrap it up with so that the pieces stay in the box. So let's talk about truth. Notice there that we have the word truth on a cross on a box that looks like a book. Now, can you think of a book that we have that is nothing but truth?
Bible.
The Bible, exactly. God has given us His Word. And Jesus, in fact, said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. And He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we have in this inexpressible gift of Jesus Christ. Are you grateful for Jesus Christ this morning? We have all of those qualities. Now, let's say those big words again. First of all, He is holy. Then He is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere at once. Then He is omnipotent, which means no limit to His strength. Then He is omniscient, which means He knows everything. That's what we have in Jesus. Then He is love. The Bible says God is love. Then the Bible says God is good. Jesus is good. And finally we have truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He will never lie to you. He will never deceive you. He will always be absolutely truthful in what He tells you in His Word. And He will keep His promises. And you know one of His promises is, I'm coming again. I'm coming again so that you can be with me in heaven. Now, the Bible also says that we are not perfect. We are not holy. And we need Jesus Christ in order to make us holy. No, think about this. If you have a friend who is always with you, and he's always whispering in your ear to tell you, let's go and grab a candy bar from the store. It's easy. I've done it. And he'll say, tell your parents that you were at the library, but instead you were playing video games at that other place. Right? So being with a bad friend causes you to become good? No. Causes you to become bad. Being with a good friend helps you to become better. So it's important who you choose as your friends. Imagine having a friend like Jesus who is absolutely holy, absolutely righteous in everything that He does, never does anything wrong. He is God Himself. And He's with you all the time. And you have His Word, His Bible, where you can learn about Him. If He is your best friend, imagine what that does to you. Do you think you become worse or better as a person? Better, of course. Who you hang out with makes a big difference in your life. And if you hang out with Jesus a lot, it will change you. It will change you if He's your best friend. And so I want to ask you, children, this morning, and adults as well, the question, is Jesus your best friend? And how can you tell if He's your best friend? You can tell by how you're being transformed. Are you being changed because He's with you? And because you're listening to Him? Because you're reading His truth, His Word? Because you are getting to know Him in all these different ways? You get to know the strength of God. You get to know that He is present everywhere you go, that He never leaves you. You never have to panic. You never have to be anxious, because the Bible says, I'm with you. What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? I'm strong as can be. And I'm good. I'm good. Well, what's in a name? There's a whole lot in a name. There's a whole lot in the name Emmanuel. It means God with us. And this isn't my gift to you. This is God's gift to you. And I'm just the messenger to tell you what a fantastic present we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for listening this morning. And we hope that you have a wonderful Christmas.